I'm not zoche to be here as often as I used to be. Even then, I wasn't here so much. So, I have a couple of hundreds of hours to talk to you. There's some minyanim. Talk about something pashut. Because the tev of a person is to remember dvar mshut. The tev is to be impressed with dvar mesubachim, to be impressed with complicated things, but to forget them. And when it comes to simple things, the tev is to remember them, to try to use them. So, talk about dvar mshut and ma'od ma'od mshut. Since it's Rosh Chodesh, and this year we have the schus to have an Ibi year. We have the schus to have 2 months of Mishnechtes Adam Arab Besimcha. 2 months. And since we see from the Gemara that the chilukim between Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, but when it comes to Simcha, it doesn't say there's a chiluk. Say that there are chilukim, you can Megillah, Mishnah Besimcha. But the question of Purim Katan, Ramah. But when it comes to Simcha, Mishnichnis Adar, Ma'am Simcha, Pashtus is that there's no chiluk between the first and second month. That means, since that's the simple truth, that Mishnichnis Adar, Ma'am Simcha, so that means that all of you and myself are very happy right now. Uh-huh. You don't look like that. Because you know, and I know, that you got stuff on your heads. I have stuff on my head. There are things in life that you're worried about. I hope nothing got a bit serious. And there are things in life that I have on my head that I'm worried about. Even if your kids grow up and they get married, and you have grandchildren to worry about, you still worry about your children. So, Mishnichnes Adam Arab Besimcha, they already start to sing Hallel to that niggin. I'm already tired of it, you know. I guess maybe over the time I'll develop a new taste for it. But it's not something that just happens to a person. I have a cheshek, really. I can't do this here because I'm not here on a regular basis, but I have a cheshek in shul to just talk about simcha for the next 2 months. Just the sugya of simcha. I'm a knimist, I need a simcha. But that might not make anybody happier also. I don't know. Because at the end of the day, this Vasem says, and I told this to you 2 years ago. Some of you were here 2 years ago. That Mishenichnas Adar, this Vasem says, doesn't mean when you reach that time on the calendar. Because when you come to the calendar and you say, oh, Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Hashem, that doesn't necessarily make you happy. Mishenichnas Adar, this Vasem says, means Mishenichnas Adar, when Adar comes into you. Mishenichnas Adar. If you allow Adar to penetrate into you, if you really get what Adar is, Mishenichnas Adar, if you really would do that, guaranteed Marmizim, not a Shiloh. But that's already a big avoid, Mishenichnas Adar. For some people, that can only happen when the heart breaks. For some people, their heart is so cold, it's so stony, so hard, that they can't feel happy, they can't feel sad. There are people that are like that, Hashem Yah. Asiraisi, the Navi says, when Mashiach comes, I'll take away the Lev Ha'evan, stone heart. So some people, they can't experience happiness, they can't experience real joy. They don't. They hear news, good news, they don't feel happy. They hear bad news about it, doesn't feel. If a person's heart is stone, then nothing goes in. So Kaidim Mishenichnas Adar doesn't mean when you reach that day of Rosh Chodesh on the calendar. It's Lav Davka. You know, Purim is such a good time. Chodesh, the month is, it's a whole month. Okay, look. What am I supposed to do? You want me to be happy, but my wife is leaving me. So what do you want me to do? You want me to be happy? My kid's off the derech. You want me to be happy? I lost my job. What do you mean? So what? But it says Mishnech Nesadim, Av Misimcha. So what if your wife is leaving? So what if your father's dying? He says Mishnech Nesadim, Av Misimcha. What's wrong with you? You're not a Jew. Do me a favor. Take your Mishnech Nesadim, take your Abnegan and go someplace else, right? That's saying it in a nice way. There are other ways to tell the guy to get lost. That's a nice way of saying it. I get lost with your Mishnech Nesadim, Av Misimcha. Most people, it's only when something illegal happens and they have a little bit of simcha. It's not enough. So Sfasema says, Mishnichnis means only if you allow that to come into you, if you bring that into you, Mishnichnis. And you all know that the Sfasema say that Adar is the Isis Aleph Dar, right? You know that. Aleph means Hashem, Alufa Shal Olam. Aleph Dar. Alufa Shal Olam. Dar. Dar means what? To live. So Mishnichnis, if a person at this time is able to carve out from that stone heart an opening, a cavity, a place in which the infinite one can live, then he'll be the son. That's the pshat according to Svasemus. That's the pshat. Because it can't be that just it comes to that time in the calendar and you're happy. No matter what a person's going through, if Mishen Nichnas Ada, if he's able to carve at that place to allow the Aleph to dar, the infinite one to live, then there's no question, no matter what is in life, Ma'am B'Simcha. Not just B'Simcha, Ma'am B'Simcha. The Simcha will increase and increase and increase. And not just on Purim, not just Adar. So what does that mean? What can you and I think about a simple, again, pashut, a simple, simple machshava that I wanted to just share with you coming into this time? So, of course, this Hashgacha Pratis that the Baruch Shalom wanted, that at this time, that we should learn these parashiyos. We have the schus to have the two extra parashiyos of Tat, of Terumah Tetzaveh, by Shavuot this year. That's an Ibiyar, it's a Shonim Uberes, the sun and the moon are getting together. The two ways of counting time, which means the Zach and the Kaiva, means Chasan Kalis, means Kutchabichu Shchitte. It's the deepest, deepest years, it's the leap year. The sun is Hashem, the moon is the Knesset Yisrael. We're aligning the calendars, the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, and the leap year is the Shonim Uberes. Uberes means when there's a Yichud, there's pregnancy. Pregnancy, it's a year that's filled. So much potential. And Hashem wants us to read these parashiyos now that are so foreign to us, are so strange to us. No matter how many times you've seen pictures of simulated Mishkans, you know, or you've been to the model Mishkan, it's like you'd still rather be in the Waldorf in Yerushalayim, no? Not only that, but these parashiyos, like, wow, all the dikdukim and the yukim. When I was a kid in yeshiva, they made us memorize every single part of the Mishkan, how many and all the psuk. You have to memorize all that stuff. For many of us, that was the beginning of our yerida. When we started Truma. Until that time, the stories were going okay. Then we had some questions, but pretty much the stories were okay. The Shpatim got funny, you know. But then by Truma, we were done. Because they didn't skip those parashas when we were kids. Maybe now they skip them. Because I see that when my grandchildren, even by my kids, when they came home from school, it was parashas Truma, and they're talking about like Purim. You know, it's not much Truma. So I would always say, what's with Truma? My wife would say, they're learning about Purim. It's okay, tell us about Purim. And I said, no, I want to hear about Truma. And the kids look at me, what's Truma? So you never outgrow that. All the stuff from when we were kids, we never really outgrow it. So when it comes to Terumah Tetzaveh, okay, then Kisisa has some cool stuff in it. Chet Hegel's cool, right? But then it's Hayakal Pekud. It's a repeat of the misery of Terumah Tetzaveh. And then starts the Karbanis, then Mayikra. this big Carlos and Gabby, like fressing, and what are the kind of fressing here, the Bernstein's fressing, that's all like so strange to us. But the Bernstein's Matri should be Davke now, Shavu V'Tat, and it should be Davke Purim, it should be Davke Mishnech Nesadar, and it must be that this is a Yisod of how we are able to carve that opening and make it dira in our hearts for the Bar Yaakov, which is the secret to being besim. Because it's not a coincidence that we lay in these parashiyos now. So look, the whole inyan of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is very, very, very strange. And you don't have to feel uncomfortable wondering about that, because the smartest Jew that ever lived was Shlomo HaMelech, and he himself like said, "Hashemayim Mishmei Hashemayim Lo Yichalku Lucha Af Bayis Af Bayis." The Baruch Shalom, you're infinite. Hashemayim Mishmei Hashemayim Lo Yichalku Lucha, the heavens and the heavens, the universe can't contain you. Af Bayis. So, like, what's this thing about making a building like God's headquarters? What does that mean? God's place. The universe can't contain God. He's infinite. Af Bayis. So Shlomo HaMelech also had problems with Pashas Purim. He also started to talk about Purim. You know, Purim didn't happen yet, but he talked about other inyanim. Shmaim, lo yichalku af Bayis. And not only that, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechir, the Rambam says, Kol Yisrael, every Jew, Anoshim Benoshim, men and women, the Medrash even says V'taf, and children, the Rambam says Lahalachim, have to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Some actually roll up their sleeves and work. Others b'mamonim, the Rambam says, financially, they pay, they give donations. See here, Shlomo HaMelech is the smartest Jew that it was ever. He says, Shemayim, Shemayim, lo, I don't get it. The universe can't contain God. How could I, what does this mean to have a building for God? And then the Rambam says lahalacha that every single Jew, not just Reb Chaim Kanievsky, not just the Square Rabbi, but every single Jew, anoshim noshim v'tav, even little children, everybody is going to now be involved in this project building the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody has to get involved. And Yosei Menei Klal, you do what you can. One of the most beautiful moments in the history of our shul was when we began building the new building. We were originally staying in a house and then in a school. And then we started building the building on Woodmere Boulevard. And one of the guys from shul had this great idea that we would have the kids of the shul, each kid from the shul would put in one of the bricks of the foundation. One of the bricks. And they made up t-shirts. One of the guys from school got t-shirts. I was at the bricklaying, you know, with the kid's name. It was a whole cute thing. Now, the guys, the bricklayers, were these real tough three Italian brothers. Like, they were tattooed like from Amish from head to toe. And like tough guys. That's a hard job. And they were tough guys. They were so cute, these bricklayers. They were like talking to each of the kids. What's your name? The kid says, you know, Menachem Yitzchak. And he looks at me and says, just Isaac. So Isaac. And these tough guys became so gentle. It was really a very cute thing. And you know, to this day, because these kids are already married, to this day the kids say to me, Rabbi, one of the most beautiful moments of my life that I can remember was putting the brick into the shoe. It's a side note, but it's an interesting thing. I wanted, when the person thought of that, I said, what a nineful, what a genius, that every kid should feel that I have a chelik. But it's halach in the Beis HaMikdash. The Baruch Shalom says, I want everybody, you do what you can do. You get involved. The easiest thing is to write a check. The other things you can do, everybody. The women were weaving, right? Everybody. So not just Reb Chaim Kanievsky, not just the Square Rabbi, not just Tzaddikim and Gedolim. So So here, the Torah, it says in Navi, the Shemayim Shemesh Melei Chakaluk, but the whole universe is can't contain Hashem, is bigger than the universe. Shlomo Melech is saying, what is this, a house? And then the Baruch Shalom says, I want every single, put down your basketball, put down your Fortnite, put it down. I just found out about that 2 weeks ago. Since then, I have three parents that told me that they don't know what to do because the kids are completely addicted. They're not sure what to do. Put down your Fortnite, put down your basketball, put down a brick. Ah. You're building the Beis HaMikdash. Get a t-shirt. I built the Beis HaMikdash. And that's more than that. Listen to this. Every single pasuk, over and over, says that when it came to the ingredients, says Zohav v'chesef u'nuchayshes, right? Gold and silver and copper. Zohav v'chesef u'nuchayshes. So the main ingredients, gold, silver, and copper. So Lubavitch Rabbi Yisrael, we asked the question in one of his sikhs around 45 years ago, he asked the question. Generally in halacha, there's a principle. The principle is Marlin Makoidish Veloy Marid. It's Gemara Menachas and that Tzadik Tess, but it has found many, that's the main headquarters, but it's found many places in Shas. The other Gemara talks about the Machtois that were used by Karech Vados, or the pans that they were using, that the Torah says that they were made into Tzipu Lamizbeach. They were melted down, and they were used as a gold layering for the Mizbeach. So there the Gemara talks about, how can you do such a thing, to take something from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala? How can you take something from a higher level of Kedusha and bring it down? The din is what? Malin b'Kedusha v'loy ma'ridin. For instance, in Megillah, the Gemara talks about selling a shul. Are you allowed to sell a shul? If you sell a shul, could you use that money to buy sneakers or something? What would you do with that money? Or you have the Sefer Torah Shabbola. The parchment is worn out. Can you take that Sefer Torah and use the parasha, cut the parasha and use it for Tilna Mezuzah, to a lower level of Kedusha, Sefer Torah is high? Can you do that? I mean, it's a sugi that's found in many places in Shas. So the Rebbe asked a simple question. It's a question with the Reis, the Rabban, there's a Prima Godim, it's in Membeis, in Arachayim. It's a very, very big discussion in Halacha, in many places. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe is the Seder of Ma'alim B'Kodesh would tell us that the order should be Nechayshes, copper, Kesef, silver, and Zohar, and gold. Because the most precious, of course, the most chashuv, is gold. So the order of Ma'alim, that the Torah always is talking about going higher and higher. So going higher and higher would dictate that the Seder should be Nechayshes, Kesef, Zahav, gold. But the Torah starts off Zahav. That's the Rebbe's question. And he has a Hezbeh, Kedarko, Chassidus, Halacha, Kabbalah. But I'm going to tell you, Pshutim Shel Dvarim is like this. Pshutim Shel Dvarim is like this. When you think back to Maimon HaSinai, you try to remember Maimon HaSinai. Because you and I were there. When you try to remember HaSinai, how do you remember that event of HaSinai? How do you think back on HaSinai? So if you ask some guys, maybe some of the guys guys who think they're or Chaim Briskers, you have some guys like that around. If you ask one of these little Chaim Briskers, they always have a very serious look on them. If you ask one of the little Chaim Briskers, how do you envision Maimon HaSinai? He might say, it was like the best shiur ever. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Magid Shiur. He was a Talmud. He learned in the Yeshiva from Bar Yishalim's Yeshiva. And he said over the original Torah, it's filled with Chidusha. It's So he might tell you that that was the it was a big besmedrash. And you know, you can find a chazal also that Beis Hayayin. There are chazals that give such an impression that that Hasinai was like a big yeshiva. But if you ask a child, or if you get past the that you know, make believe external veneer of a person, what do you remember about Har Sinai? Most people would remember the thunder, the lightning. Most people would remember hearing Hashem Himself, whatever that means, say, "Anoich Hashem Lokeh." That's what most people would remember. Or what would stand out strongest? Because Lubavitcher, he explains that Maimon Har Sinai was not just a shiur where the Jewish people until now didn't know something, the whole world didn't know something, and now there was some good information, some geshmak shiur that was given. And now everybody said, oh, it's gewaldig. It's gewaldig gewaard. You hear that? It's gewaldig. Leisach, mate. No, it was a gewaldig gewaard. That's not, that's true, that did happen. There was a shiur. But that's not the Rebbe said that wasn't the main thing. Of course we have to know the material. But the main thing was the event. That God who fills and surrounds all worlds is Mamali Kalam and Sayyid Kalam. Lais Machshovet Fisibe, no mind can grasp. Lais also Ponumine, Hashemayim Shmei Shmalei Chalkalucha, the Infinite One Himself. Said to each and every Jew, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem, your God. Not your, to the entire Jewish people, but your God, you. That means that until that time, there wasn't such a Bria in the world as Am Yisrael. There wasn't such a Bria that a physical human being that plays Fortnite and football, that can't get away from watching the Super Bowl and also can't tear himself away from a good piece of learning, that a human being with all of his ups and downs, all of his aliyahs and nivyahs, all of his confusion, looks like everybody else in the world, that there is a certain group that's called the Mamlechas Kahanim V'Goy Kodesh, that each and every Jew contains within him gold. So the Rebbe says the Tayyas Tezach, the Choshev Tezach. Gold, the Rebbe says gold is just another way of the Torah saying the Tairis Tezach. The Tairis Tezach means the most precious thing in the world as a Jew. The Tairis Tezach. Something happened that I've seen where the Baruch Shalom came in. And you and I are walking around with a chelikul kamim malmash. If we don't pay attention to it, if you don't groom it, think about it, if you don't cultivate it, if we don't attach ourselves to it, if we remain stone, then we could go, God forbid, our entire lives being oblivious. You could become a little Reb Chaim, because that's an intellectual thing. But as far as Dveikus Bashad, as far as having real Simcha in your life, do you know where Simcha comes from? Where does it come from, Simcha? I mean, there are many, many sources we could draw from. Right now, I don't remember most of your names. But right now, if I would take one of you, with whatever you have in your life, and I would be machshiv you, which is what you deserve, I would be machshiv with you. If I would talk to you, what's your name?
David.
David?
David.
If I would take David right now and I would talk to you and you would share with me your life and I would become very, very emotional, I would say to you, David, du bist der teuerste Sache in my life. You're the most precious person I've ever met in my life. Which is probably true. I would get to know you. I'm sure I would say that. Du bist der teuerste Sache in my life. Du bist gold. You're gold. That would make you happy. You know why? Because you think that Weinberg is some kind of hush of a guy. Your rabbi knows I'm not so hush. I know for sure that I'm not hush. But you think I am, because I look like I'm hush, right? I carry a safe, I got a big hat. Whatever person does nowadays look hush. So I look like I'm hush. So that means that David will hear, that this person who he's machshiv says to him, shtick gold, your piece of gold. You should know the tire is the zach, the chosh is the zach. It's David. That would make you happy. You'd walk around different the whole day. And I don't know you, but I'm telling you that now, even without knowing you. And that's something that would make you happy. So the Torah, the Baruch Shalom said to each and every one of us at Har Sinai, Moshe, Avram, Sarah, Rivka, du bist der Teuerste der Sachen. You know what that was? That means for the Infinite One to say to you, you're the most precious thing in my life. That's Chashivus. The Baruch Shalom is the Tachlis of Chashivus. Shemaim, Shemaim, Shemaim. So all the heavens, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say it to the Malachim. He doesn't say it to the Chayas, the Sofer. He doesn't say it, but to every Jew, not just to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He says to me, to Dovril. He says, who was the tiresest Zachar in the world? You're the most dearest thing to me. You're the most precious thing to me. Mishnechnes other marbism. If a person is able to allow that truth to penetrate into the depths of his being, bamas. So therefore the Rebbe says, the Seder is Zohav. Because the Baruch Shalom is saying, I'm not following the rules over here. I'm telling you that this is not about having a fancy house for me. I don't live in this house. I don't live in that. God is not physical. I don't live in an address. I live in gold. I live in gold. I live in Malchus. I live in gold. And I want you to know that you're gold. I want you to know that you're gold. One of the guys told me yesterday by the Shia that there's a ceremony after the Super Bowl that they I never saw this. I don't remember when I used to watch the Super Bowl. 1968 was the last one. The Jets. I don't know if they were in it in 68, but I remember 68. That now there's some kind of a ceremony where they kiss the silver football. Do any of you? You saw that? Is that the winning team kisses or both teams? I don't know. There's a kissing of a silver football ceremony. So one of the guys asked, is that Avodah Zarah? Is that? Why are you giving it such a compliment? Avodah Zarah is a chashivus of Avodah Zarah. No, kissing a silver football. You know that there was a terrible thing that happened last week. I didn't know about. My wife showed me a video clip. There was a beautiful Jewish family from Detroit that they were thrown off of a plane. Did you see this? You heard about this? There's a family of regular Jews from people that somebody on the plane said that they smelled bad. There's a family that has a lot of kids. I don't think they're there with their kids, maybe one or two kids. And somebody said, I'm hoping that they're going to make a lot of money at least out of this business. I'm hoping from the airlines they should make. They should make $100 million. They're going to sue them. So listen what happened. And they have a film now, but this family, the father, in fact, the whole world now knows who this, and the father said, we showered before we came. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means there's some old-fashioned anti-Semite, right? And then a few people were grumbling. Yeah, they smell. And the stewardess and the people from the plane had them leave the plane. 2019. There was a plane going from Detroit to Miami, or Miami to Detroit, one of them in Detroit. Leave the plane. American Airlines, I think. I don't, maybe not. I think American Airlines. I don't remember. Leave the plane. there are people here who don't like the way that you smell. And they didn't want to make a whole melchama, and the family left the plane. So my wife told this to me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I always say I couldn't believe it. You know, well, yeah, yeah. I believe it. Is the Zionist for a Jewish family? No? If you don't like it, then you get off the plane. But kids don't make on the plane or something. I don't know, whatever it was. Go to another seat, switch seats, whatever it is. I mean, there's an Aitzi, you know? But tell people to get off an airplane and say Barabbin, and the television came over. Leave the plane. So my wife told this over to me, and she showed me the clip. Made me sick. And I told my wife the following story, which I'm sharing with you now. There's a Rebbe in Yerushalayim who all of you should go to see if you get a chance, the Talmud Rebbe. Any of you ever meet him? Oh, he's a Tyre Yid. He's a wonderful Jew. So you can talk to him about anything. His mom is a great person. So the Talmud Rebbe now put out a sefer. As well, you saw the sefer about his grandfather came out. Got out a whole sefer Meisim from his grandfather, Rabbi Yochi. It's Gevaldige sefer. One of the chevra brought me from Israel when he came back. Ner Chaviyadi, I think. He tells over the Torahs from his grandfather. His grandfather, Rabbi Yochanan, was so humble that if you would spit on him, he would thank you. I once saw him. He died in the 1970s. He was born in Europe. His family took him as a kid to New York. He spoke fluent English. I mean, with a heavy accent, but he spoke English. He grew up in New York. Then he moved to Yerushalayim, and then to Montreal for a few years, because there was a ton of bismeters. Then he went back to Yerushalayim, but like the last part of his life, he was in Yerushalayim, in the 1960s. Rabbi Yochanan Tversky, Talmud Rebbe. So there was a meiser with the Talmud Rebbe that I saw in the sefer. I told this to my wife after she showed me this clip. There's a meiser from Talmud Rebbe that he used to have. There was a guy, an old Jew, that was a Holocaust survivor, lost everybody in his family, died. And this Holocaust survivor was like a Jew that was down and out, you know, like had no money, had nothing. And he took the Rebbe, he took him in. He lived by the Rebbe. I don't know how long, but he lived by the Rebbe for a while. And he was a guy that was like very not regular, you know. And, you know, if you sit in the street in Yerushalayim, you stand there, you look for 5 minutes. You don't have to look 5 minutes to see Jews like this, right? So this seed was living by the Talmud Rebbe. And it was the Pesach Seder. And the Rebbe, the Rebbe's, and then the girls set it up. Was that the children and grandchildren were sitting, and that they gave him a seat, this Yid, they gave him a seat with their grandchildren. And the Seder was about to begin. It was already, the Rebbe was standing at the front in his white bekesha and shtarmel, ready to start Kaddish Urchatz. And he sees that the grandchildren are moving their chairs away from the old guy. Like starting to edge away, you know. And the Rebbe right away got scared that he would notice it. And the Rebbe right away said, the Rebbe said, how did you put our guest, Reb so-and-so, how did you put him with the children? I want him to sit next to me. I'm not Michael. He has to sit next to me. So he felt like $1 million. The guy, they slept him, right? He brought him over to sit next to the Rebbe. The Rebbe put his arm on him. The kids were going like, the Rebbe put his arm on him. No. After Yontif, the Rebbe called in his Anikolach, his grandchildren, to his room, and the Rebbe was always very soft, but he was upset. And he said, I want to understand how you could be mevayish a Yid. How could you embarrass a Jew? What if he would have seen that you were moving away from him? What? By this, you know what I'm talking about, by the Seder. You were all trying to get away from Rav Moshe, whatever that Yid. You were trying to get away from him. So the Talmud Rebbe writes, he says that one of the grandsons said, Zaidi, he stinks. He smells bad. Which I'm sure that's true. He smells. So the Rebbe got up and he started pounding on the table. The Rebbe got up to his friend who's mentioned, he said, Ayid schmeckt sehr gut. Er schmeckt sehr gut. What does that mean? You have to even understand Yiddish. It smells very good. Ayit shmek zayigit. And he just stood there and he said, you don't know how to smell a Jew. Ayit shmek zayigit. Remember that. Ayit shmek zayigit. A Jew smells very good. Sometimes, you know, you could smell that in other people, that they smell good. But very hard to smell it on yourself. You know, everybody knows his own odors, you know what I mean? Other people, so it's easier to smell the goodness of somebody else sometimes than your own. A Jew smells very, very good. Zahar, gold. The biggest simcha that a person has. Mishnechnas Adam Arvin B'Simcha. So the Megillah is very busy with the Indian of smell, which I'm not going to go into right now. Mordechai is the tag was Mardachia, which means the B'Samim Reish, from the smell of the Ketores. Esther's name is Hadassah, Hadassim, smell of the Hadassim. And there's all this stuff too. But when you look at the Megillah, you see Achashverosh, that Hamelech means really Hashem. Mordechai is dressed up like some big politician, but it's Ish Yehudi HaYibishushan Adir. One of the things in the Mishkan, they used to make the Mishkan, it says in this parish, it's called Ma'aseh Choshev. Ma'aseh Choshev, what does it mean, Ma'aseh Choshev? It's Gemara in Yuma. Rashi brings down. Mr. Machlok is Rashi and Rambam, but Rashi, because there are 2 days in the Yerushalmi, but Rashi says, Ma'aseh Choshev, that on the Urias, like on the curtains, the Mishkan, the roof, the curtains, there was embroidery on one side, and it, like a kruv or a nesha or a lion, there was decorations, embroidery, and on the other side was a different embroidery. They look different on the outside and the inside. But usually when you make embroidery, the beautiful things on the outside, and on the inside, it's this, you just see stitches, right? Stitches, ugly. The chashivas, or the mishkan, is ma'aseh choshev. Ma'aseh choshev means that the outside and the inside were both beautiful, but they were different. It wasn't the same picture. That's the chashivas. And the outside looked one way, and the inside was also beautiful, but looked a different way. The whole story of Purim is that things on the outside are not the way they look on the inside. So on the outside, a person looks a certain way, just like you and myself, we look a certain way. Like I said before, that a person looks like anybody else, like Stami. Stami Yid. Kuska said, Stami is safe at Torah Tefillah Mezuzah. A Yid. A Yid shmecks very good. On the outside, doesn't always smell so good. Doesn't always look so good. But Ma'aseh Choshev means that a Jew is a Ma'aseh Choshev. A Ma'aseh Choshev means that there are two drawings. There's the drawing on the outside, and there's the drawing on the inside. Nobody knows that drawing on the inside except you. And even you and I, we don't know what the drawing is on the inside. The Torah says it's gold. But you don't know what that is, and I don't know what that is. The biggest brach that I could give you is that you should be able to find that. And you give me the same bracha, I should be zeich to find it within myself, to find that drawing on the inside. Because when we find that drawing on the inside, that zahav on the inside, it's ma'arim b'simcha, it's not even a shayla. That the Borei Olam is machshav us. The Borei Shalom is a miyakir us. That the Borei Shalom, the infinite one, doesn't dwell, can't fit into the whole universe, and the whole solar system, the universe. But he does in my heart and in your heart. Is Belvavi Mishkan Evne. Ein davaya karmiza. Ein davaya karmiza. There's nothing that's more chashev than that. And there's nothing that brings greater simcha to a person to know that the chashev is that which is most tired, that's most dear, most chashev, is machshev us. So it could be that there's somebody in your life that told you, God forbid, that you're not chashev because you failed your test or something. You're not choshev because of this midah, that midah. But when you remember that the Borei Olam himself tells you Zohar, your gold. You saw your mama's gold. It was the chashuv, chashuv, tire. That there's nothing more dear to me than you. When you hear that, and you feel that, then it's like Yehuda Maisar of Simcha Sosnik. Then it's Purim. Because that's what the story of Purim is about. On the outside, it looks very different than the inside. On the outside, you don't see Hashem's name in the Megillah. But the inside is on fire with Hashem. Just like me and you. On the outside, you don't see necessarily. People don't see on me and you that we're such big God people. Not such godly people. But on the inside, it's a miracle that you and I could even walk on the world, because there's such a fire of Elikus inside of us. It's a miracle that you and I can even eat a piece of physical food. That's how we have inside of us such a nefesh Elikus, such a godliness inside of us. It's a miracle that we could even eat or breathe. That's how much Elikus is inside of us. It's a miracle that we could be like regular people, that we're not on fire exploding with Elikus. It's a miracle that we could function. When you believe that, and Hashem opens up your heart to come to that place of believing that, you'll see you'll be very happy. You'll be besimcha, not just on Purim. You'll be besimcha all year round. Hashem is about to bench each and every one of us, that we should be zeichet to let him in, and to be able to feel that, and to know that. And then we can receive the Torah again, like what happened in Shushan HaBir, but this time it will be mitach ahava, like Rashi says, ahava is the next one, simcha. So we won't have to be dragging around the world anymore. We could all be together in Yerushalayim, where we belong. Maybe you may know a main God. Amen. Shkai.
Questions.
Yeah, I don't know what lunch. I don't know what my schedule is exactly. No, I think I have now a few minutes. Yeah. What's your name?
What?
What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel.
Rabbi said that happiness is a bad translation of simcha. The way people understand happiness.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's an incomplete. It's a shallow. You know, we have many lashinas for simcha. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva. No. Sos and Simcha, each one is different. The Malbim, yeah, you can look at the Malbim when he has in the Sefer Carmel, or the Malbim, he tells you the differences between all the shines of Simcha. Simcha is not the most harsh of the lashon of joy. They're deeper in the shines of. So it's not accurate to say happy. I don't know a word in English that captures it 100%. But it's not, it doesn't get it 100%. Simcha could be that, there's a difference of opinion between Sos and Simcha, which is external, which is internal. Most hold that simcha means internal joy. So it is, but happiness very often is not an internal joy. Happiness is it's not internal. Internal happiness, that's simcha. Yeah. What's your name?
Avi.
Avram? Yeah.
So Rabbi was saying on Shabbos, and gave a story of Shiva of Elojin, and with the like the Shaliach that was looking for money, he went to the wealthy.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking after the shiur that, wouldn't it, like, yes, like, he didn't give money to the Shaliach and he just wanted to be Kadosh, but wouldn't that be better than, like, the carbon shlubim that Rebbe was giving and saying, like, okay, it's more of an intimate, direct relationship to Hashem or to the mitzvah? I guess the Shaliach didn't want the Shaliach to get money, but at the same time, it's more like a direct. You know, it's all Kadosh.
I understand. Yeah. So Avram's talking about like something you didn't hear. So it's like, I don't have this little catty corner, you know, between us. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a half hour drusha. Explain.
But I'll just
say to the mzach, you know, straight the thing. That Nakuda, and I guess the others will not understand. But what Rav Chaim Volozhiner was saying to this rich guy was that of course there's a need and there's a feeling that a Jew has for a certain experience of Kulay Kodesh. Of Kulay Kodesh. There is such a thing. After all, we come in Kippur and Lifnei Melifnei. There are moments, there are places of Kulay Kodesh. But what Rav Chaim Volozhiner must have picked up right away, because the guy even told him that he's a stingy guy. I don't think this is the first time I've met him. But he must have picked up that this guy was making such a chiluk between the world of Chol and the world of Kodesh that he was like off the chart. this is bad. This guy's messed up. And therefore, even his Kurdish is not Kurdish. That's what he's saying. Even his Kurdish is not Kurdish. It's a great story. You want to hear it? The story is like this.
Yeah.
The story is like this. That, wow, you were actually listening. It's pretty good. You never know if someone's listening. So,
I'm going to the dinner.
Yeah, yeah? Okay, great. Let's go ahead. Okay. The, the story is that Rav Chaim, there was a yeshiva in Volozhin was having trouble. It was the only yeshiva in Lipton. It was having terrible problems. And Rav Chaim sent around Mishulachim all over to try to collect money from place. So Mishulach comes to some shtetl. And it's a very poor shtetl. People have like a dollar, you know, whatever. You know. They told him that the people there in the shtetl said there's one rich guy who has a fancy mansion on the outskirts. And this guy, he could like pay for the whole yeshiva. But he never gives any stuck to this guy. Stingy, mamish a star. Doesn't give a penny. So this Mishulach said, I'll get him. And every Mishulach thinks he's going to do it. So the Mishulach goes to the guy, he asks where does he daven, finds out where he davens. After davening, he says, over, oh, can I talk to you about these sheep? Get money. You're trying to get money out of me? They didn't tell you? I don't give anything. So I say, Mechamarv, next day Shachas, Mechamarv. Finally, the guy invites him. He can't take it anymore, the guy. He says, all right, just come to my house. And the Chevra couldn't believe it, that he actually got an invitation to the guy's house. So he goes to the house, and he goes to the guy's house, and he starts working on him. And he comes around. Not only does he come around, he says, okay, I'll tell you what. And he names like an enormous amount of money. It's going to pay for the yeshiva for like 5 years to run the yeshiva. And the Mishulach is gold, right? But the guy says, I'm giving it on one condition. I know that all the Mishulachim take a percentage. That's how they make a living, right? No percentage. I want this to go completely for Torah, for the yeshiva. Akadekach, I'm not giving you the money because I don't trust you. I'm going to go to Rav Chaim Volozhin and give him. So guy, I said, but it's no nothing. I'm not giving you anything. This is for holy. This is for the yeshiva. So he, so guy said, okay, Baruch Hashem, thank you for giving me yeshiva. So this guy goes to Volozhin, and he goes to Rav Chaim Volozhin. He tells him, look, I'm not about stocker. The whole story, the mishulah came, and I want to give this money to the yeshiva. Chaim Volozhin says, oh, thank you so much. Well, but then the guy said, but Rebbe, I know the Mishulach is going to come to you, and I want you to know, Rebbe, that I made it tonight. I'm only giving this money if it's completely for learning Torah, for Kaddish, not for this. I don't want this Mishulach to get any cut. So Chaim Volozhin put his hand on the money, and he made a face, and he said, give it back to me. He said, a carbon for that guy. A guy is a carbon. I don't want it. A carbon for a guy. So the guy said, it's the first time in my life I'm giving tzedakah. Why would you say that? He says to Rav Chaim Volozhin, why is it a carbon for a guy? So he said, because Rav Chaim Volozhin said that a guy can also bring karbanas, but he can only bring a carbon oila. An oila goes completely on the mizbeach and is burned up to Shemai. But a Jew could also bring a carbon shlomim, which was revealed to us by Maimon HaSinai. A Jew could also bring a carbon shlomim. And shlomim, you give part of it, the emurim go on the mizbeach, and the part goes, goes to the kayin, and then the bailim, the person can eat it with his family, can eat the rest of the carbon, the meat he could eat. But what you want to do to give that is only for holy, only for the learning, and you don't want this mishulach to be able to pay his rent, or to get some kugel for Shabbos, the rabbi says, do me a favor, it's a carbon for that guy. I don't want it for the yeshiva. I don't need such karbanis. This is a goyim give karbanis. A Jew doesn't give a karban like that. When a Jew does for God, he does for a friend also. Being a Jew means, that's why I explained the parasha Mishpatim is after Yisro. That Mishpatim is about helping other people, doing for other people. Maimon HaSinai is, oh, Kedusha, big Kedusha, big Kedusha. So that's Avraham is asking. Isn't Kedusha a very big thing? Yeah, but this guy wasn't in the right place. That's why Rav Chaim Volozhin was telling him, no. Yiddishkeit. Rav Chaim Volozhin knows about Kedusha. He was saying, but that's not what Yiddishkeit is, just like that. Yiddishkeit means that the Baruch Shalom is nachas and you're good to all the Jews. And the Baruch Shalom doesn't need you to give him everything. He wants you not just not just the, you know, saying in the shul, there are people that like to come daven in the shul, they like to come learn in the shul, but they don't want to have to pay for the air conditioning, you know. They don't have to give money for the heating of the shul. Because I was yelling at the guys that they should come to the dinner and help pay for the dinner. So I said, the people, you come to the shul, you learn, you daven, cough it up, you know. You don't forgive other Jews, there are people that people here that they have to get paid. You pay them. Take care of things. Yeah.
Moshe, so Moshe, would you have any advice for us in why sometimes we have like bad times is here with work and stuff to bring a little bit of Adar every day? Like would you have any strategies for us to do that? To experience a little bit of Simcha of Adar every day?
Yeah. You should try to be in the shiur of Rabbi Belazon. Try to be in that shiur. And you'll be able to experience every day some Adar. And your Rebbe will also, there should be every day, hopefully, that each person, if each and every one of you would take two minutes of the day, 1 minute of the day, and not that doesn't be every day, it's already big, just talk simple, is Baidadus, Hashem is Baruch. A little bit is Baidadus, to talk to Hashem Baruch about what you're going through in life. You say, sometimes you have a bad day, I know. I also have sometimes bad days. But talk to the Baruch Shalom about it. Develop that kind of a kesher where you could spend, you'll see that if you spend a minute or two, 3 minutes a day, a little bit without anybody knowing or watching, just between you and the Baruch Shalom. When I was zeichet to be last week in Florida, I was actually by your Rebbe's mother's there and brother, and I told them that the shul were now putting out an album. Did any of you hear any of the music from this? There's a, you heard the niggun?
From the shir, yeah.
Yeah, from the shir, right. Should I play it for the guys?
Sure.
Is that all right? So, I have talmidim, I'm zeichet to have some wonderful talmidim and friends. And actually, I better find out if I'm supposed to be somewhere now. Let me just check for a second. Schedule 11. Oh boy. I was supposed to be someplace at 11.
Rebbe doesn't have to play the niggun, just
I didn't know, I thought I was supposed to be at 11:30. Oh, alright. Plan B. So when I was in Florida. Maybe there's somebody outside there, isn't it? Don't, no eye contact, no eye contact. there's an album that have Talmidim and Chavayim, some of them you know probably, Shlomo Katz and Eitan Katz, the brothers, the holy brothers, right? And Yosef Kaduna, you heard of, Chaim David, you heard of, Reb David Weinberg, right? You know, and they look, you know, I'm supposed to. Alright, that's Yoni, yeah. I got mixed up. So found. I got mixed up. I thought it had to be 11:30. What?
Cancel the next time.
So I'm supposed to be 11 there.
11, yeah.
Yeah. So I can't do it at 11:30 to have Shia. Could you ask him if I can come at 11:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Shkai. Sorry. So there is a musician that. I never met in my life. It's almost impossible to get there because we were supposed to meet once when I was in Arizona giving a shiur and he didn't show up. He was supposed to come. His name is Michael Shapiro. And he has nigunim in the 1980s. He does not, you can't buy in any store. You can't buy them in a store. There are six albums. One of them he doesn't, you can get it online. But one of them he stopped sending out, which I thought was the best one. For some reason, he doesn't want to continue. He has nigunim that are not like anything I've ever heard in my life. When I asked him, Shlomo Kalbach, I remember I had a conversation with Shlomo Kalbach, I asked, what do you think about Michael Shapiro? Shlomo Kalbach just went, oh, like, not crazy. This Michael Shapiro, he sort of disappeared from the planet. And it's a whole story with him, I'm not going into it. He, by the way, he knows about this. We contacted him, and he's very excited, he gave his shoes and so on. I wanted for many years that these guys, Shlomo and Eitan, Zusha also does one of the songs, that his music should begin to be reaped. He won't do it, but to let us reproduce the music, which according to the law in America, you don't have to have rishus as long as you put the name. But he gave rishus. So this album is going to be coming out. Maybe some of you heard the Nigun Meshorer HaTshuva. That's Shlomo Katz's Nigun that he actually gave me as a birthday present last year. That Nigun 2 years ago, Meshorer HaTshuva. So that's the album is called Meshorer HaTshuva. And each Nigun there, the other Nigunim besides Meshorer HaTshuva, are all from Michal Shapiro. So this one is really what I'm talking to you about. This what this shmuz was about. So let me just play you this Nigun, and I have to run for my life. This. You have to listen to it like 10 times. Like, you can't do that now. So yeah. All of Michal Shapiro's music you have to listen to many, many times. But here's just, this is Reb Dovidel Weinberg singing. You know Reb Dovidel?
Yeah.
That's what Moshe Tzvi's little brother, Reb Dovidel. Okay. He's singing this. But it's Michal Shapiro's song.